Introduce our first group. Welcome Isaiah from Riverside.
Hi, my name is Isaiah and I'm an alcoholic. I've been sober since October 14th, 2016. Now, I have a sponsor. My sponsor's name is Nathan R. My home group's the No Nonsense Group, and thank you guys for having me. If you notice, I identified as an alcoholic. That doesn't mean I've never smoked meth out of a light bulb or crack out of a car antenna. It just means that I happen to find a sponsor in a home group in Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's where you're going to find me. You know, because I remember sitting in those chairs and listening to people like me speak, and they would identify as an alcoholic, and I would immediately turn off and just say, like, I'm a drug addict. I need real help. You know, and I think a lot of times, we spend 60, 80, 90, whatever days in these facilities, and we get so caught up in the substances, you know, and we start thinking that there's a meth bone that's not connected to the fentanyl bone, and we get so consumed with the substance that we forget about the sick body we're putting it into. At the end of the day, today, the most honest thing I could do is not take a drink or a drug. I love sobriety. I'm not, as you can tell, from San Clemente or this area. Probably the only Mexican not cleaning a table. But I am from East LA, and I moved out to Riverside. And I don't know if you guys know where Riverside's at, but start smoking meth and you'll end up there. You know, and drinking did for me what I could not do for myself. For the first time when I got drunk, when I started smoking, when I did those substances, I felt like I could be myself. And I didn't care what you thought about me. I didn't care whether I said this dumb shit or the stuff that I always kind of held in. I started saying whatever I wanted. And I honestly felt for the first time in my life that that's the way God intended me to feel. And the small consequences started coming. You know, my family started giving me cute nicknames. They started calling me a yard sale, because you'd find me laid out in the front yard at any given morning. You know, I pissed my pants a couple times, and, you know, I pushed my sister out of the way. And it was all, you know, boys will be boys will be boys, you know. And I ended up in the psych ward, and I found out the difference between a 5250 and a 5150. And I remember leaving that facility thinking to myself, I am not doing that again. That's crazy. I'm not doing that again. And keep in mind, I'm in the psych ward. The gown's on backwards. It's blowing like a cape. I'm running out. Ass cheeks are out, you know. And I'm yelling at the nurse, like, I'm not crazy. Which, by the way, is the craziest thing you can yell in a psych ward. You know, and I went to the doctors, and he told me that my circulation was getting so bad that if I kept using and drinking the way I was, that they were going to amputate my foot. And I remember the first thought that went ran through my mind was like, well, I don't really need 2 feet. I'm not an athlete. Like, I don't dance. You could still drive. I don't need 2 feet. You know, and the thing is that we all have that story. Just replace the foot, you know? Replace it with the job. I didn't want to work there anyways. I didn't want to be with her anyways. Who needs to live indoors? You know, they tell us that insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And to me, that just sounds like optimism. You know, you want to hear some real insane shit? Is knowing what's going to happen and doing it anyways. Because we have this song in AA and alcohol and alcohol and in the ism that just says, fuck it. If I come home drunk, I will get kicked out. If she smells alcohol in my breath, it's over. Fuck it. You know, and in 2014, I woke up in Chavez County Detention Center, and the correctional officer came with my discovery package, and I was wondering, what are my new charges, like drunk in public, something stupid. And I looked at my charges, and it was attempted murder, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, aggravated assault, GBI, aggravated assault. I was facing 22 years in prison, and that's where the fork in the road kind of goes, you know, like where the hard drinker says, I need to stop drinking. I need to lawyer up. I need to fly right. And whereas, you know, me, the alcoholic, I start thinking like, I'm just going to drink until this goes away. Fuck it. You know, gingerbread man, catch me if you can. And I went to the rehab in San Clemente, woke up in a detox center. I don't know how I got there. And I didn't know what to do. You know, my delirium tremens were so bad, you know, that as a practicing atheist of my whole life, I never believed in God. I knew for a fact there was no God, according to my Wikipedia and YouTube research. And my detox was so bad, I hit my knees and I prayed to God and I said, whatever you are, whoever you are, please help me. And the next few days, I got help in the way that God helps me. And people from Alcoholics Anonymous showed up to that rehab facility and they started talking about the steps, the program, sponsorship, and how this saved and changed their lives. And even though I didn't relate to how they stayed sober for years on end, I related to how they got loaded because they talked about real inside baseball shit. You know, our whole lives, people tell us what to do. You know, the girlfriend, the boyfriend, whatever, the lawyer, you know, the PO, the judge, family members look at us like you're fucking stupid. Just stop. And for once, I hear these people talk to me, and they're telling me how they got loaded. And they're telling me about being, you know, that guy that buys the big bag, and this is for Monday, this is for Tuesday, and by Tuesday, you're fucking up Thursday shit. They're talking about being a drug dealer that owed himself money. And I knew they got loaded like me. And even though I thought I needed a public defender or a GoFundMe account, and all I had was a Dunder Mifflin t-shirt and a hoodie, my sponsor decided, he said, hey, no, we need to get into this book. And we started reading about Bill's story. You know, we started reading more about alcoholism and the doctor's opinion because I needed to really identify, do I have this shit or not? Because that's the difference between acknowledging that your house is on fire and getting the fuck out. And those are two different things. You know, it's easy to say I'm an alcoholic, but I haven't done my step work. I haven't called my sponsor. How does that match up? If I'm really an alcoholic, you know, of what the book describes. And as I started going through these steps, I started going through my fourth step, my fifth step, and it was time to make those amends. And, you know, AA gave me a life beyond my wildest dreams, and I never had, you know, had white friends in my life. You know, now I say stuff like skedaddle and malarkey. You know, I drink LaCroix. You know, sobriety's tight and it changes people. You know, and it was time to make some of these amends, and my white friends, you know, the, you know, especially the women, no offense, but they'll say like, you know, like, oh my God, I'm so proud. You're so brave. And like, it's cool, right? And then, but it was time to make an amends to my my cousins from the old neighborhood. And, you know, my cousin has tattoos all over his face and they call him Monster, you know, and his real name is Jeffrey. And it's time to make an amends. And I'm like, yo, meet me up at the Starbucks. I'm not stupid. They have cameras. Oh, and, you know, and I'm telling him that I, you know, I'm meeting up with him to make an amends. And he looks at me. He's like, hey, yo, my fucking, you know, my tia said that you moved out to L.A., dog. You tell me you're gay? You know, like, no, man, I'm here to make an amends, you know, for the harm I caused. He's like, homie, you can't harm me. And so it was this big old thing. I'm trying to explain to him that, you know, I didn't harm you, but I wronged you, and I'm not gay, you know. But what I didn't mention is the fact that my friend John gave me a ride, and he was gay, and we get to the car, and John knew it was a big deal, you know. I made an amends and put his arm around me, and he's like, hey, you make that amends? I said, yeah, I'm proud of you. Then I look up, my cousin's looking at us like this. I haven't talked to him since. You know, and I had to make all the rest of the amends, the ones that didn't go so well. You know, I ended up going to prison in sobriety because of the attempted murders and allegedly. You know, when COVID started, you know, everybody was like, oh yeah, COVID checks, and I'm in prison. And and I started sponsoring guys, you know. It should have been the worst experience of my life, right? But instead, I took AA with me, and I started sponsoring a bunch of guys. And I started a meeting in a book study called the Blue Bench Group. And we started drinking coffee, and it sucked just like AA. And you know, the experience that I got from that, you know, was that this isn't just like a one day at a time and keep coming back. Like, there's something really going on here. You know, so if you're new and you keep doing your cycle of, for me, it was psych ward, you know, rehab and back to mom's couch. Mm. You know, whatever your service triangle is, you know. I'm here to let you know that there's hope. It's in this program. It's in sponsorship. It's in the steps. Thank you.